Oh, have you seen that video that's going around at the moment of a girl stuck in a dry cleaner or like a
Yes.
washing machine?
No.
Oh my
Yes,
gosh,
drunk
that's
versus washer, and washer wins.
how did she get that far into it? It's perplexing to me.
I don't know,
Anyway.
she didn't seem that tall, so she probably would fit. Well, in fact, she did fit, so
She did fit,
she probably
yes.
fit quite easily. It's just getting back out is the problem.
I know what I'm doing
Oh.
after this podcast. I'm watching it, then I'm trying
Oh,
it.
it's
This podcast is in the memory of James Spence.
I'm
sorry,
don't know, there's
guys.
something just.
Sorry, that's going on the intro.
People
Death
will just
by
hear
drag.
that. I hope my family don't hear it.
Well, at least they'll know where you are.
Oh, we didn't think to check there.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Hello and welcome to the Webcomics Company podcast. I am Luke Healy of SwanneeNook.com, and today I am joined by Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com.
Hello.
James Spence. Oh, hello. Oh my gosh. James Spence of GirlsInSpace.co.uk.
Good evening.
And oh my gosh, I just keep not predicting this. Oh, I'm terrible at intros. But we soldier on. And of course, Zoe Robinson of AllOverTheHouse.net. And lifeofnobtmouse.net? Or is it just
knobmouse.net? I really should
I'm
get a
so
URL that
sorry.
Corresponds to the title of the comic.
And now that I have destroyed the intro, we shall begin.
So we've got a few topics this week, haven't we? A few of you guys have been to Thought Bubble. How did that go?
It was pretty good. Yeah, it was good to see you, James, there.
It was great to finally put a face to the voice, yeah.
So we met. James came up to my table and so I was like, "Hi," and then this guy's coming up to me acting friendly, and I had no idea who he was. And then and then you started talking, and then it's like, "Ah, I get it."
I recognise that gibberish anywhere.
I didn't know you were from Gibraltar, and I apologise for that really really old joke.
So did you enjoy yourself, Luke?
I did, yeah. It's the largest convention thing I've been to. Just small press indie comics, as far as the eye could see. I don't know. Do you know how many tables there were?
I'm not sure. I would guess there was around about 200. Do you think that would be fair?
I think I was on table number 200. So I guess it's probably, I think maybe 250, 300 or so, perhaps.
Oh, right.
Even that.
Wow.
But I'm sure it's available somewhere. But it's what it is, for anybody who hasn't been to Thought Bubble, it's a Thought Bubble itself is a 3 or 4 day event with various different sort of academic conferences, drop in and draw events for children, portfolio reviews, talks by famous comic book artists and guests. The biggest event, which is what James and I were both at, is a very large, essentially comic book market or bazaar, where there's rows upon rows filling a very large hall of people selling their printed materials, books, prints, posters, little plush toys of their comics in some cases, and it's pretty much if the people are on the sort of the convention circuit, they are pretty much at Thought Bubble. And so it's a lot of people there, and a lot of people I quite admire, and I sort of walk up to and go, "Oh, John Allison, Philippa Wright, I think your stuff is so good." And then, "Yes, who are you again?"
Yeah, I know the feeling. There was a lot of sort of well-known names and things there, which was really cool. I really enjoyed that. I got to see the guy who does Gunner Creek Court, so that was awesome for me, I have to say.
Oh yeah, he's really nice, isn't he?
Yeah, aye, that's right. And I bought a book and got him to do a wee sketch, so that's pride of place in my house at the moment.
So did you guys just go for the Saturday, or did you go to any of the other events, or did you go to anything else on the Saturday after the convention?
I just went to the convention itself. How about you, Luke?
There was an after party which was held in a place near the convention hall, which I went to, and I pulled some very dodgy dance shapes on the floor there, under the influence of some intoxicating liquor. So, yes, I believe there are no photos, thankfully. Yes, or
I had planned on going to the after show party, but my wife's actually she's 4 months pregnant at the moment, and after a day of sort of exhibiting at the con, she was feeling pretty tired, and so we decided that we would just go back to the hotel instead of going on through the evening. That sounds so. Was it good fun, the evening part then?
Oh yeah, it was great fun, and I met lots of people who, basically, I have lots to talk. It was fun talking to various people about the various comics they do and what they think. It was a bit like I enjoy doing these podcasts, and it was a bit like doing that for talking about comics for another three or 4 hours in a row. Which is,
it sounds really fun. So were there like a ton of guests at the convention? Was it packed?
When the con started, one of the other exhibitors had said to me that apparently the queue to get in was a quarter of a mile long when it first...
What?
When it first kicked off. And I can believe it, because, I mean, not long after the doors opened, I mean, the hall was absolutely swamped with people. And it was really weird. I mean, that was my first con, so it's strange. Because my wife actually makes wedding cakes, and so I'm quite a dab hand at doing wedding fairs, so I kind of can relate it mostly to wedding fairs. But it was really strange. Like, some people would come in and they'd, you know, talk to you and they'd seem really excited, and other people would take one look at it and, you know, their hearts would fill with "don't give a crap." And so you just couldn't really gauge it. And it was just really good fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it, I have to say.
It sounds like quite an event.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I had a good time too. It was good. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the convention season this year. This starts up again.
Yeah, I think
March, April next year.
There's a new one in March, I think, in London, kind of to replace the thing.
It's
Small Press Expo, is it? Or Alternative
Press
Expo?
I believe that's its name, yeah. It looks like it's exactly the same as the thing. Different location, but otherwise almost identical. Definitely the spiritual successor. And I've got a table there I'm sharing with another guy, and these conventions take up a lot of time, so I'm going to enjoy having some weekends free. And now,
are you totally wiped out now after it?
Totally wiped. I was sort of Monday morning or so, I was a bit, I've recovered a bit now, but I had a bit of Sunday to there was a few small events just drop in and draw on Sunday, which I popped into. Those are fairly, I didn't have to do very much. It was fairly low key. You know. Yeah, it was fun.
So look at the con then. What would you say you were like after kind of coming away from the con? I've been kind of thinking, well, you know, did it do what it was supposed to do? You know, and I came to the conclusion that I didn't really have a plan. I didn't know what I was trying to achieve when I went into it. How did you feel that? Do you think that you achieved what you were hoping to achieve from the con?
That's a little bit. Yeah, it's mostly about sort of meeting some people. I'm a little upset that is my own mistake because I was on the table on my own and I didn't bring anyone else. I didn't really get any chance to move from my table, so I didn't really get to experience the con as a visitor. Nice having, because the internet can be a bit impersonal way to put your work out, having people pick up my books and occasionally laugh and tell me that they liked it. That's a little bit of a fairly vain ego boost for me. I don't think it made any great, it caused any great leaps or bounds in my sort of comics career as such. I was perhaps vain enough to make myself a portfolio, which I thought, well, maybe I could show this to somebody and they could give me some feedback, maybe just point me in a few directions. I didn't really get much in the way of that sort of stuff done, partly because I was really just behind my table talking to guests coming through. It was fun, but I don't think it's ultimately it's meant so much. And I don't think there's a significant boost in traffic as such, which couldn't be replicated much cheaper by putting a few ads on the site rather than getting a train all the way up to Leeds and back. So I think I just had to accept that I enjoyed it as a day out and a bit of a holiday.
Yeah,
holiday rather than a business trip as such.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I was looking on it as well, because I think you know, when people came by the table, obviously I would try and make a sale, you know, from some of the various bits and bobs I'd brought along, but if they weren't interested and I was able to give them a postcard with the URL on it, then, you know, I kind of thought, well, fair enough, they might check out the website, and if nothing else, then I've at least kind of spread the name of the comic around a wee bit more. So, it was quite sort of... Yes, it was strange, definitely strange. I ended up taking my other book, Silly Beggar, it's called, and I actually ended up selling more copies of it than I did of Girls in Space, so I wasn't totally sure whether maybe I should have tried to promote what I was actually trying to promote, you know.
At the same time,
probably failure on my part.
It's all a bit sort of the experience, I guess, as well, and... Sort of being part of that scene a little bit.
Lots of people going by in crazy outfits as well. That was quite good to see.
Oh, were there any really good ones?
There was one Spider-Man costume, which frankly I saw more than I wanted to see. It was very tight, I wish my eyes had an undo button. Other than that, there was lots of sort of Japanese anime-style costumes. I think they seemed to be more popular than the Marvel and DC ones, but there were some cool ones of them as well. And there was an awesome Darth Vader kicking about as well. So.
Oh, yeah, I saw him.
So, did you guys make any new comics friends whose websites you'd like to pimp or anything like that? Throw out some URLs, share the love.
The guy who was next to me was his name was Peter Roy, and he did a comic called Twisted Peel, which is it's a sort of gag-a-day kind of comic, and Yeah, actually had a really good chat with him. He has been doing a lot of things with iPhone apps and sort of looking at sort of kind of different things that he's hoping to achieve digitally, with iPads and iPods and all that malarkey. So I had a good chat with him about that, because it's not a topic I know anything about, I have to admit, but after speaking to him, I'm definitely going to look into doing something along those lines.
Some people I had seen before did various things, but I had a good chat with a guy called Matt from a comic called Moo and Kia, and he's got lots of thoughts and philosophies on comics, especially comics in the UK. I mentioned that would he like to come as a guest on here, and he said, oh yes, that could be good. It's been a bit short notice for this recording to get him on, but maybe in a later recording we could have our first guest, perhaps.
My gosh.
Talk comics. And then I've sort of met a few people I've seen down in London before, especially with We Are Words and Pictures. It's mostly people I've met before. There's a guy from Belgium called Rembrandt, who does something called beardfluff.com, which is quite a trip to come up from. He apparently got the Eurostar and came all the way up on the train to come to Leeds, which is quite a trip, really. I felt that coming out from Oxford was far enough for me.
Nice. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's great. Because comics is a fairly big part of my existence as such, to meet people who I have that in common with. It's nice to do.
Yeah, it was quite good. I mean, some people, like, would come to the table and just sort of talk about, you know, what a webcomic actually, you know, was. And, like, in fact, one person, funnily enough, had said they'd read Zoe's webcomic builder site and was sort of really interested in that, which I thought was quite cool too. So, bit of fame for you, Zoe.
Sorry, I'm being distracted by instant messages. Oh, no.
I see them as well. I think we can't hear Zoe, I think.
Having some kind of technical difficulty. Oh no. Oh, she must have just thought this entire time we were completely ignoring her.
Sorry, Zoe.
I can't even hear me at all. Can you?
Oh dear.
There's maybe on her recording of this, we'll hear her going, "Guys, guys."
Oh yeah, she's doing all the recording. Oh,
I should probably not record this. Let this be go out into the podcast.
We need like a technical difficulties music. We could just play over.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
So should we? What do we do then? Do we try and reconnect or?
Maybe we should also try and make a new call. I'm sure Zoe can stitch the two calls together.
Okay, guys,
right?
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Right, I've switched from my fantastic radio-style equipment to the microphone that's built into the computer. So you probably can't hear me as well as you otherwise would have, but at least I'm able to take part in the conversation.
Yeah, well, you're coming through loud and clear.
Oh,
yeah.
I've just been pressing buttons and turning knobs for the last 10 minutes or so.
Oh, no.
What's gone wrong? Because it just seems to have died.
Oh no! Oh, it's not broken. That would be a shame.
The weird thing is, I can see all the lights lighting up. If I talk into the microphone, I can see it. It's clearly recording me, and I can hear it in my line in. So I know that it is recording. It's just not recording through Skype.
Oh, that's
strange.
Unusual.
Yeah. So whether I turn up on the actual feed that I've been recording or not is another matter.
Well, I think I heard the police coming there for somebody.
Oh, it's madness round here. I don't know what's been going on, but for the past 3 days, we've been seeing fire engines, police cars, and ambulances just flying past at all hours.
Why?
We have an ambulance station and a police station just down the road. So what I'm thinking is either there's something major going on that no newspaper in the area is reporting on, or they're all testing in order to get ready for Christmas.
Oh, that could be possible.
Ah, yes.
So that's really nice for me, because I've got my own alarm clock of once every hour.
So, okay. So, good job, everybody.
So, with this thought bubble thing, was it just small press comics that were coming?
It was probably almost everybody in UK comics, small press and large. I know a few. The guy on the left of me was a fairly mainstream comic artist, who was drawing pictures of Spider-Man and Batman people, I think some various people who are could be considered professionals in the comics world were there, as well as down to the likes of me in the small press world.
Yeah, because I heard on Twitter, I think it was, that a few people from 2000 AD were making their way down. And I thought that was quite good. I think the Dandy and Beano were there as well, weren't they? Or at least some of the artists.
Oh, gosh.
Cool. I didn't see them, but that's quite cool, yeah.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
Did you guys hear about the relaunch of the Dandy?
I've heard about this, and I think I've seen it comes in plastic wallets now, so I can't flick through it.
Used to. They've relaunched again, so it's like a re-relaunch. And now gone back to actually having comics in the comic.
Ooh.
So it used to be something like Dandy Max or something.
Yeah, Dandy Extreme, and it was terrible. So it's like Dandy Extreme, waste of money. But they've rebranded it. I think it's a last-ditch effort now. If it doesn't pick up this time, they're going to end up cancelling it, which is going to be a real shame.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Beano, so the Dandy is my mortal enemy, of course.
Did you not get both?
No, you weren't meant to get both. There was pretty overt anti-dandy rhetoric in the Beano. I don't know if it was the other way round, but the dandy were our enemies.
Oh, right.
Beano Town and Dandy Town would play football against each other in a way and things like that.
Well, I grew up in Dundee, and that's where DC Thompson's based. So, it was obligatory to read both, I think. And Dundee's got like a huge statue of Desperate Dan right in the middle of it, which is quite cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so.
It's a big brass statue, isn't it?
Yeah, aye, that's right. It's really cool, actually.
I did like that when I found out about it. I used to get both of them when I was a kid. I learned to read with the Dandy and Beano, so if it ever cancelled, I'd be really sad. It'd almost be like, as if it went, my ability to read would disappear with it. And then where would I be?
At the same time, though, it could be maybe better that it doesn't continue to get worse and worse.
Just a
horrible fade away, rather than just, cut it off.
There is that. They don't want to go down the same route as Red Dwarf.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say I'm too familiar with us.
Five really good series, one pretty good series, and then two really bad series that everyone remembers as being, well, it was good, but then it came back for more and it was terrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you wanted to go out in its prime, like Firefly.
Excellent. To be honest, Firefly didn't get to its prime. Firefly was warming up and then got shot.
Yeah, that's true. Have you heard of they're making a new Buffy film? It's going all around Twitter.
Oh, really? Yeah.
A new Buffy
film? Yeah, like a reboot.
Without Joss Whedon?
What?
Anybody from the TV show.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, the TV show had no one in it from the film.
That's
true, but it, like, no, none of the writers, nobody's involved. It's just, it's like, you know, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight. They're just bringing it back and using, you know, like a recognizable character rather than actually anything about it, I think. It's going to be quite different in tone, they've said.
Although, having said that, I'm pretty glad they're not following on from where the comics went, because Angel can fly now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if they're going to totally ride on the Twilight vampire romance thing. I know that Buffy usually had sort of a thing for vampires, but are they going to make it a romantic story? I don't know.
It was a romantic story.
I know, but the romance was, you know, it was never really at the forefront. Or maybe I just didn't notice it because I was a young boy.
I have to say, it was at the forefront to a certain extent. Those weren't the best episodes, so if they're going down that route, I'm just going to go and eat them. I'll turn up at the door and say, I brought a spoon, so you don't have to worry, but I'm here to eat your brains.
I always thought that the best thing about Buffy was the supporting cast, and it was so well scripted as well. You know, Xander always had some hilarious lines in there. I think it would be terrible if they brought it back and it didn't have that same charm as the original show.
Yeah, I have to agree. I can't see it working, so I'll play this one by ear and wait for reviews before I book a ticket.
Agreed. Although, as long as they don't sparkle, I'll probably go see it.
Yeah. Sparkling's just... Oh. I'm sorry, but no. My vampires aren't made out of some weird mineral that glows in sunlight. Vampires explode. They don't sparkle.
Right, so...
And on that note...
The Webcomics Company Podcast. It may not be a real company, but it's a real podcast.
Shall we move on to our second topic?
Okay.
Yes. Only if you guys want, of course. I hate to impose on this.
I think we talked about conventions last week, as last fortnight as well. So, but I think we probably covered that. One thing which people were going to, a clever segue here. One people were talking about at the convention was something that John Allison had posted up. For people who don't know, John Allison wrote a really very successful comic called Scary Go Round. And about a year and a half ago, he sort of folded up Scary Go Round and moved, and within the same universe, moved to create something called Bad Machinery, which is aimed at a slightly younger audience. It's still good. It's still one of my favorite comics. And he's probably the most successful webcomic artist in the UK. So he has a fairly authoritative voice to post. And what he's done is he's created a manifesto for UK indie comics in 2010. I think it's probably best that we don't spend 10 minutes actually reading it out point by point. But if we put a link on the webcomics.co site, and if people wanted to read it before we started doing the section, they could pause the podcast now, go to webcomics.co, click on the link in the post about this podcast to John Nelson's blog, and have a read of his 10 points. It's mostly about how to do a webcomics as a business, comics as business, ideally as one that can support you as your job. He starts off lamenting the fact that so few people in the UK, compared to other countries, seem to be able to support themselves from comics. So now might be a good time to pause and go to webcomics.co, click the link, and have a read of the manifesto.
Ding.
This could be a very funny place to put in a Rickroll.
Yes, never going to give you up. Actually, I wouldn't use that. I'd go for that Russian weird guy.
Oh, Trolololo, that guy?
Yeah, what on earth was that about? It's just some guy laughing.
Amazing, though.
You see, amazing. That's what happens when you hide your entire country behind a political barrier. You get weirdness.
Oh, weirdness doesn't just come from Russia.
No.
I think YouTube can teach you this.
Yeah, weird stuff comes from everywhere. Like America, where people get drunk and then climb into washing machines.
Hey.
May or may not put in the podcast extra.
Oh, it's so funny.
So yes, this 100 dance moves per minute, John Allison's blog area, which is a very, very long title, but hey.
It's sponsored by the British Pin Council.
I've never even heard of them. Aren't they one of those quangos that got cut down?
I don't know what a quango is, but it's probably climbed to the list of my favourite words.
Quasi-autonomous, non-governmental organisation. And they are people like the Milk Marketing Board who sit around and get paid ludicrous amounts of money to have a conversation, write up some minutes, and then give the government ideas on how to run things. But the Milk Marketing Board, how many people don't know about milk? Surely their job is done.
So comics.
Comics. Throw that in there. But the British Pin Council
I don't think the British Pin Council is a real thing.
Well, that's good.
I have a feeling it's just some kind of inside joke.
Yeah.
I'll have to cut this rant out then, won't I?
I think, well, one of the things is that you go to some of the thought bubble, there are hundreds of tables there, but you could probably count the number of people there who are actually making a living out of their comics on maybe four hands, probably. It's possible. I'm not entirely sure.
Well, it depends how many fingers you've got.
So point one is probably best not to live in London, if you want to, which is fairly understandable.
Yeah.
To be honest, that's a good idea for anyone, regardless of whether you're in comics or not. London is incredibly expensive. If you don't have to live there, don't. It's not like we haven't got really good transport to London.
Yeah, but it's London. I mean, just to say that you live in London, it somehow makes you cooler.
No, it doesn't. Manchester's where it's at, man.
Coming in here with Manchester. I laugh at Manchester. I apologize. Sorry. Go on. Everybody, please continue.
I think point two is pretty much embrace the web, which is probably for people listening to Webcomics Company podcast is probably something you are already doing.
So well done. You're ahead of the curve according to the UK. Why are we so behind on everyone else?
You're further ahead than Ireland. Applaud yourself on that.
Oh yeah, how is living in Ireland at the moment? Sorry, because
all the crazy.
The radio is telling me that you appear to have shut down as a nation.
Oh, it's so overblown. I mean, it's just like. You cannot go anywhere without hearing the words budget, banks, or general election. But, you know, to be honest, it's been like that here for months, so I haven't really noticed that much of a difference.
Okay.
A national implosion. But, you know, I like to sit at home and draw pictures, so trying not to let it affect me. Anyway, comics. Shall we?
Point three is make comics for people who don't make comics, which is interesting. You can get quite introverted. This is something which will probably come up in a later point, is that a lot of the feedback you can get and a lot of the communities that are around comics are basically other people like oneself who create comics. And so you can often think that that's... And people like... People who make comics like probably do like comics about making comics because it's something they're interested in. The thing is, that's not a large enough market to be self-supporting.
That's true. So
I think you can get a sort of a false sense that that is what people want, because that's just the most vocal and the most easily accessible community.
That's
definitely true. I mean, how many breakout comics that are actually making a success themselves are actually about comics, or catered solely to people who like comics? And I can't think of a single one. Penny Arcade's a gaming comic. XKCD's a maths comic. What's the other one? PhD? It's about graduate students. There's a one about librarians. It's really popular with people who work in
Unshelved, yeah. Yeah, there's something to be said about having a niche market. I think we talked about this.
We did, yeah.
Previous podcast.
And it's it can't be emphasized enough that you can't just make a comic about making a comic.
And you can't make a comic that's... this is going to sound a little silly. You can't make a comic that's just like, oh, people who read comics will get this. Like, one of the points that he brings up within that point, a sub-point, if you will, is learn how to engage and entertain people. So yeah. It's like, if you're getting into making a movie, you don't want to just be like, oh, we're going to make this high concept, it's for lovers of film, and then expect it to be popular and to sustain you.
Yeah, I've seen films like that. It's called Three Colors, Red, White, and Blue, and they're awful.
Oh, I've heard of those.
I put them on the films end and press play, and I'm still waiting for the actual plot to start. Sorry, I just don't like those films.
I think on the topic of making comics for people who don't make comics, I think it's easy to almost be convinced, you know, by the people who comment on your comic are probably more likely to be other webcomic creators, whereas the average reader probably won't comment on your comic quite as much. In my experience anyway, I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but I think sometimes you can almost feel yourself, you know, being swayed in a certain direction, and it's probably because it's people who are sort of saying, you know, oh, I wouldn't do it like that, or they're kind of second-guessing what you're going to be doing next.
It's true, yeah. You can't be swayed by the vocal minority. I don't think the majority of people who would enjoy a comic actually know it's possible to comment on them. I get a lot of comments on Facebook from people who wouldn't normally read a comic, but they send it to me on Facebook rather than on the website itself.
Right, yeah.
That makes sense. You know, people are just used to using Facebook. It's, as well as being more convenient, it's more familiar, so people are probably more likely just to type a little message in.
Definitely. Although I'm wondering whether this Facebook Connect thing will actually change that, because you'll be able to write on the website using your Facebook login, and that may change the way people interact. But I think we'll go wait and see how that pans out.
Yeah.
Point 5. Making money from art is not vulgar.
Damn right.
True. If you can sell it, sell it. There are many of us who can't. Just get paid.
Yeah, you know? Whatever you're good at, be paid to do it.
Does anyone disagree with that? Or do you think that, you know, you're using a skill, you're creating a product, guys gotta eat.
I agree with the point, definitely, that it's not vulgar. Although, I do think there is some merit in art for art's sake as well, you know, there will be people out there who are doing their comic purely as a hobby, and I know that that's not what this manifesto is all about, but you know, some people do enjoy just doing it for the sake of doing it. I'm not in that category myself, I have to say. I hate doing comics, but I'm only kidding. It's you know, there is merit in just doing something experimental.
There is there is one thing. I don't know whether there are probably two webcomics I can think of, which it seems like it is done pure, every decision of the comic is made entirely on commercial grounds, which And I think the word I would almost use for that is actually vulgar. So this might be a little bit. I think, although it's not, you can, it's not a bad thing to make money from what you do, but if you're purely, well, if you're purely trying to make money, you're in the wrong game. Because this is very unlikely to be your best chance to become a millionaire is through comics.
Yeah, so, I suppose it's a bit like when you listen to sort of, you know, the sort of music that appears on the likes of, you know, The X Factor and all these kind of shows versus something that's created by, Bob Dylan or John Lennon or something like that. You get the feeling that the intention of Bob Dylan or someone like that is to actually create a piece of art, whereas the intention of someone on The X Factor is to become famous and to actually sell records so that they become rich. And I suppose it's down to what is the original intention of creating this comic. Is it to actually do something where you're wanting to tell a story and you're wanting to actually produce something that's worthwhile, or like you say, look, is it that someone's actually just saying, oh, well, I want to make something that's going to make me some money? And
I don't think it's a very common I believe pretty much almost everybody is in it because they love it,
but yeah.
I wouldn't want to try and be seen to encourage, and I don't think John Allison is trying to encourage people to try and change their art. Actually, maybe try and change purely for the process of making money.
Yeah,
because there is some degree of soul perhaps within it. But generally speaking, don't apologize. I think it's not something to apologize for. Is if you can make money out of your comic, it's not.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
It's like, it's okay that, you know, you've got your comic done, you know, you have, say, 100 pages, whatever, you want to get that printed into a book. It's okay to switch into business mode and say, okay, I've got a product here that, you know, I've worked hard to create. It's okay for me to sell this and to make money. You know? It's not something sacred.
Yeah, that's a good distinction.
Definitely agree.
So
we're on to point six. Making pamphlets is ridiculous.
I didn't realise that people did this, to be honest.
Me either.
I know they do, because I tend to hang around in comic shops, and there's a comic shop, Travelling Man in Manchester, usually has one or two local pamphlets on the counter that you can buy. So I knew people were doing this, but I'm disagreeing when they say it's ridiculous, because I wouldn't have heard of these people without the pamphlets being there.
Now, when you say pamphlets, when I hear the word pamphlet, what jumps to mind is just like a little, you know, like you'd get given at some kind of orientation, you know, it's like a little flip, a piece of paper that's folded up a few times. It has, you know, pictures and text on it. Like, what's a pamphlet in comic terms?
Yeah, basically an A5 booklet.
Mm-hmm. Is it a comic, or is it like
They'll usually be stout in the standard American size comic book format, but it's just basically a small booklet. Rather than going for an entire book, just printing up maybe 20, 30 pages, stapling it in the centre, and that's your comic.
Okay, so it's just like it's just a comic.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. I think that... I don't think that maybe it's ultimately a bad thing, because I know that I like to see my stuff in print too, but, you know, to be honest, there's almost no reason not to put it on the web.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely true, but I think maybe I'm arguing from the wrong terms. Now I'm having another read of this. It's saying, don't fetishize the object as part of another era. And I agree, it does go on to say there's better ways to reach an audience, and it's true. However, a pamphlet, if you get the right printer, or you do it yourself with a photocopier and your own household printer, it's very cost-effective for getting the word out on your comic. If you've got enough material for a book, then I wouldn't bother with the pamphlet route. But if you've got 20 or 30 pages, and you want to just print something up that you can have to give to people, or maybe put in a shop and say, give these away with purchases, or maybe charge a pound for them or something like that. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I wonder if he's sort of suggesting that the pamphlet is the end point, you know, where the whole goal is to make this pamphlet, but you know, like a scene you would have in, you know, the early 90s or something.
I used to love scenes.
Yeah, but I did as well. But
they've had their day.
Yeah, that's it exactly. They're well and truly replaced by the internet. So.
Yeah. So yeah, and that if from that point of view, yes, I'll agree. Pamphlets have had the day, and just aiming to make a little comic book, it's not what's going to get you anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not. I don't think that's personally. I don't think that's maybe cost effective for getting the word out there. Get some Project Wonderful ads, or you know, some guest star.
I'm in two minds about just going the Project Wonderful route, to be honest, because you have to admit, at the moment, Project Wonderful is effectively by webcomics for webcomics, and sometimes you need to try and break outside of that market. There are still a lot of comic book readers who don't know what comics on the internet are or how to access them.
Really?
Yeah, you just go to a comic shop, like, again, the Manchester Comic Books places, Forbidden Planet, Travelling Man, I think there's another one, but I'm not entirely sure what it is off the top of my head. And there are people that are in there that had no idea about webcomics when I was talking to them.
I actually found the same thing at Thought Bubble. There was people who came by and they weren't familiar with the idea of doing stuff online, and you know, actively asked me about, you know, why I was doing it online and things. So it surprised me, I have to say, because, you know, it's 2010, but I guess there are people out there who haven't got around to thinking of comics in another media yet.
Yeah.
But that's really surprising.
It is surprising, but at the same time, it's a huge market.
Oh, I suppose that's true, yeah. Well, I am shocked and I have learned.
So I would definitely agree with him in terms of don't just focus on making comic books, but don't dismiss them just yet. They've still got a role to play.
Fair enough. And of course, this is, you know, we're not saying that everything on this manifesto is 100% right, you know.
Well, that's
we're allowed to disagree with stuff and all that.
Excellent, because I am.
But sorry, that totally came out wrong. But yeah, you know what I mean. You know, we're not saying. I'm not saying that, you know, John Olson has put this out and it's, you know, it's absolute goldmine. Everything's 100% right. I think he makes some really fantastic points in it.
Oh, he does, yeah.
But like, I don't know. Even to me, some of it is not relevant, maybe to my situation, and that's fine. You know.
Yeah.
Talking I'm about articulating good points. Myself really badly. Oh, yes, talking of good points.
Talking of good points, point seven is definitely a good point. Diary comics, stop it.
Really? This is probably the one which I had... I was most in two minds about, actually. I think if your life isn't very interesting, then diary comics are not... then a diary comic you make is... I have some... Flick through some of these. And if you are a guy in his mid to late 20s who goes to a few gigs and then hangs out with his girlfriend a bit, your life is not very remarkable. But I've got on my shelf two of my favourite comics are some by Guy Delassi, who is a cartoonist animator, and he has what is essentially diary comics for him from his time in Burma and Pyongyang, which at the other end of the scale is a very, it's more of a travelogue really than a diary comics. And I think if your life is interesting, or if you are Kate Beaton and you can make
little
moments of your life funny, I don't know, I know that John Allison is a massive fan of Kate Beaton, but the question maybe is whether it's the scope here is whether this is commercially successful. Kate Beaton's story, the little diary comic.
I know. I was just about to bring that up. They're so good. If you're not following Kate Beaton on Twitter, follow her right now. You will not regret it at all. They're there's just a way that she, you know, it's a combination of the way she draws stuff and the way she essentially, like, I assume that she re-scripts things a little, rewrites the exact wording and the timing. They're just perfect. They're so, so entertaining.
And she comes out with about 3 a day as well. They're sort of fairly crudely drawn. They're not at the sort of the same level as the stuff that she does on Park of Vagrants, but they are fantastic.
I'm just having a look at Hawk of Vagrant, and you know those pictures by Quentin Blake in all the old Roald Dahl books?
Oh, yeah.
It's reminding me of that. I used to love that style when I was a kid. I could never do it myself, but I loved it.
Yeah, I actually saw she did one of those influence maps that was going around a while ago, and he was on it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he would have to be. It's really good.
Have you never read it before?
No.
I've heard
of it, but never at a time when I could actually sit down and have a look at stuff. So I've never really looked at it.
I recommend it heartily. Very, very good stuff.
I suppose point number 7, the Diary Comics one, it is the one that's got the most shades of grey, really, because I guess, you know, it brings into, you know, how do you define a diary comic? Because some people will take, you know, elements from their lives and, you know, interject it into whatever comic they're doing. So, you know, whether you label it a diary comic or not, a lot of comics may have diary elements to them.
I'm going to agree that diary comics as a whole, we probably shouldn't rule out. Because I was just thinking, there are two very good books. Have you ever read Diary of a Nobody?
Nope.
It's a classic. It's in the style of a diary, but it's entirely fictional. It's about the world's most boring man. And
hello!
And it has no idea. Well, no, I don't. I'll try and put my train of thought back on the rails. It's about this really boring guy who is a mockery, and he doesn't realise it. So he's gone through his life as this dull man, goes to work, comes home, sits and reads a book, that kind of thing. And his diary is from his point of view, but every now and again you get this idea that everyone in the world is laughing at him, and he hasn't realised. And it's a hell of a book. And then there's The Secret Diary of Adrian Moore. That's a traditional diary, but again, it's fictional. And it's a really interesting book. So a diary comic like that, or even a real-life account, but kind of glamorized a bit so that it actually is worth reading, I can see that working. But the general ones where you see, oh, I had an argument with my girlfriend today because I left toast on the side of the counter when I went to work. It's like, yeah, I really didn't need to know that. And that's a lot of those.
There's Twitter for that kind of thing. If you really want to let people know exactly what you're doing at every hour of the day, then get a Twitter account, perhaps.
Yeah.
It's sort of a short. What sort of diary comics John Addison is talking about here is difficult to say, but if it's if your only comic outlet is a diary comic on the internet, you are wasting your time and your energy. Possibly, yes. It's depends on definitions, which.
And he says something as well in that, which I think is probably very true. Is the 200 people who read your diary comic, on the other hand, all make their own dull diary comics or are about to start. Yeah, I'd say that's fairly true in some cases. I'm not like, I think diary comics can work, and he does mention it in that, you know, that there are, he says, people have eccentric personalities or are capable of turning their lives into compelling narratives. You know, he's not saying that diary comics are all terrible, but I think that diary comics are fairly hit and miss, with a lot more miss than hit.
Yeah.
Yes, the signal to noise ratio is low.
So shall we move on to point number 8?
Mm.
Read some actual books.
Definitely, agreed.
That almost goes without saying, I'd say that one.
You'd have thought so, wouldn't you? But every time I talk to writers, the majority of them don't read.
Oh,
I suppose that there's finding the time to actually do it right enough.
Oddly enough, that's not their major concern. It's, well, I don't want to be influenced by other things. How are you going to learn? If you don't, it's like a filmmaker not watching films.
Well, in a way, I think it's not... I think what... So when it says actual books, you mean in... I think if you read it in opposition to comics, it says if you want to learn how to construct proper narratives and tell good stories, stop reading comics. I'd probably read that as stop reading only comics.
Yeah.
Which some people have... Well, I've read some of the reaction on this. Some people haven't liked this. They feel it's almost a betrayal of the medium.
Well, it does go on to say, comics are baby school, prose is hard graft. I'm going to disagree on that one. There are some damn good literary comics out there. If you're just reading X-Men, then yeah, okay, you're not getting the best out of comics. But at the same time, X-Men doesn't intend to be a literary comic. It doesn't intend to try and raise the bar. It's there to entertain, and that's good.
Yeah, I agree. I think that people, when they talk about the value of something, a lot of emphasis is placed maybe on how serious it is and how high-minded. But, you know, it's okay to sit down and try to craft a really, really good entertainment product.
Yeah.
I feel there's merit in that.
Definitely.
I think it's really a point that's sort of kind of talking about, you know, everything in moderation. And, you know, I don't think you necessarily stop, like Luke said, you know, stop reading only comics, but also read books. And, you know, you'll get influences from everywhere, even if you watch TV or you have the radio on. You know, anything will, you know, get into your brain in some way. I think adding proper, you know, novels into the mix, so obviously it makes sense, and non-fiction books as well, I guess.
And, you know, you should just read for yourself, whether it's about making comics or not.
Reading exactly, yeah.
Great. Go team reading.
Yeah, books for the win. Regardless of whether they've got pictures in or not.
And also whether they have pages or not. Because the internet, a lot of stuff on the internet's great too. Read that.
Just not 4chan. Or if you do, just remember to wash your brain out afterward.
There's a lot of terrible stuff on the internet too. Have you guys seen that Tumblr blog that's been tweeted around? It was a while ago. And it has a curse word, so maybe I shouldn't say it. It's like fyeahterriblearth.tumblr.com. And it will ruin your life.
So I'll not be going there then.
It's just like these four people collect basically all of the worst art that they can find off DeviantArt.
Oh no.
Fear itself into your mind.
Isn't that a full time job to try and collate all the bad art on that website?
They actually they had a submission form and they had to close it because they had 4,000 submissions that they had to close. Oh, it's so funny, but also equally terrifying. So you are important if you go to it. And when I said F, yeah, it's the full word. I don't know our policy on the adult words here on Webcomics Company.
Well, we are marked as clean on iTunes, so
we
should try and keep the bar at a certain level.
Read books, because they're great, everybody who's listening. I think that can be the lesson for today. Read books.
We could get a public service grant for this podcast if we include messages like this.
We should have a public sponsorship from the Arts Council or the, I don't know,
British Pen Council Foundation.
We can have the front page just read "Books are cool." That'll get us a pretty penny.
Yeah. I think next podcast could be Maths is Fun.
Maths is Fun.
Create webcomics using maths. Will this be a bunch of XKCD clones?
Although, having said that, people do create webcomics with maths. Anyone using Illustrator is generating all of their lines using mathematical formulae. So maths is fun.
Maths are cool, kids. So shall we move on to point nine?
The titular point of the post. Yeah, it's a scene that celebrates itself has nothing to celebrate.
Yeah, this is basically the webcomic equivalent of cousins marrying. That's all I've got to say on that one.
I think any community of artists. My other hobby is acting, and so I know a lot of this is to be very congratulatory of each other. I think it's inevitable. It's not something I think you can stop or you should possibly even bother trying to avoid, because it just happens. It's how, if anybody is going to come around and start telling people that you're rubbish, I'm remembering our clean rating and urgent, you're rubbish, they're not going to be part of the community for very long. So I think it's just to be aware of that and realize that if your entire market is within our fairly small community of creators, it's essentially what I talked about before.
Yeah.
It's fairly meaningless, almost.
Yeah, and I don't think it gets you anywhere, really. I mean, obviously there are certain people who are... There's a community of people who will critique your work, but at the same time, if all you're getting is a lot of, oh, hey, that was great, not specifically helpful, I don't find.
Yeah, I'll agree. Isn't this like the difference between famous and internet famous? You've got... famous and internet famous and comic famous.
Do you guys find that you do you comment on other people's comics? Like, if you go and read someone's web comic, will you sort of fill in the wee comments part of it? And do you find that you, like, if you did find one that was like rubbish, would you say, or would you, you know, just not comment, or?
I wouldn't comment. I mean, I don't tend to comment that much. Anyway, I have to squeeze in my webcomics reading into a fairly short lunch break at work. So it's a question of time. But no, I don't know. I wouldn't say anything, because I know. The UK people especially, which is what I probably know them. In a sense, or I'll meet them at the next thought bubble. I'm not...
So I mean I can totally understand, because I also, you know, what would, you know, you would just come across as being, you know, sort of pretty horrible if you yeah, exactly, if you were going in and saying, you know, that this is awful kind of thing. But I can understand how point nine sort of talks about a scene that celebrates itself has nothing to celebrate, but I don't know how you can ever get away from it.
I tend to comment occasionally, but I'm very much aware that if I commented on every single comic that I read every time I read it, I would soon be accused of spamming. But I would say if there's something that really stands out as glaringly wrong with a comic, I'm more likely to email the person who produces it rather than write on the website, because the last thing I would want if someone came to my website and just started writing about how I suck. But if there's something worth actually talking about, then yeah, certainly send an email.
Yeah, well, that's certainly true. Yeah, and that's actually, you know, I have had comments on my site where people have, you know, pointed out flaws here and there, I suppose it's down to whether it's sort of done in a you know, in a nasty way, or whether they're trying to be helpful or what have you. So, yeah.
to take from the post itself, it says, seek the widest audience for your work, if that's what you want, and then ask yourself why things are or aren't working. Essentially, you probably have to, rather than wait for explicit reviews, is to think implicitly what your reception, which is based in things like almost like, even to an extent, internet hits, bearing in mind what we said a few weeks ago about analysing your stats and poring over them.
Yeah.
But if you are putting your work out there to a large audience and it's people aren't taking to it, there is, even though nobody will be telling you that X, Y, or Z is not commercially successful, bearing in mind is not so successful for your webcomic, there might be something to look at there, which is a hard, essentially you're going to have to manufacture for yourself the hard lessons which people aren't going to actually say to your face.
Yeah.
You're going to have to try and infer those, which is quite easy to, because nobody's saying it directly to your face, it is quite easy to, I mean, I do it, is to ignore. I just think, well, everybody who comments on my site says they like it, so therefore it must 100% good reviews, which is meaningless, obviously, because I'm not Randall Monroe, so obviously I'm not producing the best comic on the internet. So, yeah.
I suppose it's quite difficult to like, if you don't have the traffic coming in and you're sort of trying to analyse what's not working in your site. There's so many different things could be what's going wrong. I guess it is quite difficult to know who, like, if you can find someone who will give an honest critique of the site and say, you know, actually, you know, I like your writing, but your main character's, you know, not very appealing, or you know, something like that. Then, you know, that's very, very valuable. And if you can find someone who's willing to critique your work, then you know, that does have quite a good value.
From the point of view, yeah, it's a question that ultimately you're trying to get people to be prepared to like your comic enough to part with money for it, and so eventually you're going to have to try and, some things will work, some things won't work, and you have to probably put in some effort to find out what doesn't work, and face up to some, maybe sometimes some uncomfortable fact. But it's the thing, it's also worth remembering that we've been talking quite a bit about this as a business. If the ultimate thing is, you do have to like it yourself, because you're the person who's always going to be most involved with your comic. And so don't change everything just for commercial success. That's me going back to what I was talking about.
Right, yeah. If you think it's great, then somebody else will think it's great too. Well, yeah. I think that is. That might be slightly off topic, but you know, I mean, I feel like we've been talking through it, and even when reading this manifesto, it maybe presents a little pressure to change what you're doing with your comic. But like, I think you should. It should be a mix of, you know, you take on board this advice and the criticism, but also if you're convinced that something you're doing is the best way to do it, you think it's right, and you know that, you know, people might, they're just not, you know, maybe you're not getting the right people reading your comic or whatever, that it's okay sometimes to stick to your guns and to try to write it out.
And you will get better generally at art, at drawing, at writing, if you do it. So as well, sometimes it's just remembering that it's always going to be a learning process. Yeah. Sorry, this is getting a little it's controversial. I'm not really good at
controversy sells, or so I hear.
Well, guys, we've been gone for just over an hour, so shall we wrap this up with the final point?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the last point is, being ambitious doesn't equate to being unpleasant.
Yep. Couldn't agree more, definitely.
I have to say, I'm surprised that this one needs saying. But perhaps I'm just not in the right scene. Because to me, ambition is a great thing when it drives you to improve. But unpleasantness is just, well, that person over there is an idiot. They're shouting and screaming, stomping their feet and punching everyone. Well, they're never going to make a success themselves, and they'll disappear once everyone is ignoring them. So surely this one goes without saying.
Yeah, I think it's this whole sort of aspect of, some people being like a diva, you know, when they kind of get to the point where, you know, they have a little bit of success and they kind of think, right, that's it, I'm the be-all and end-all of comics now. So you know, they maybe feel as if they have the right to stamp upon the little guys. And it's just... It's atrocious. It shouldn't happen, but I think it does happen.
I think TV Tropes calls it small name, big ego.
Ah, right, yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose that kind of person, they always annoy me, but you'll find them in everything.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that, the point that he's bringing up here, and I think he actually says it in it, is like, you know, it's okay to aspire to do well financially, I guess, from your comic, and to be confident about what you're producing, and you don't have to apologize for that. You know?
And he's definitely right.
Yeah, being confident is not the same as being arrogant, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay to say, oh, well, look, I'm doing a good comic. And, you know, it doesn't mean you're have a big ego or whatever. It's because, you know, if you ever intend to sell your comic or whatever, that's how you're going to have to act about it. Does, you know, being like, oh, well, you know, it's okay. I mean, I like it. That's not going to do anything for you financially.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can be confident and you can be ambitious without being, as he says, unpleasant or arrogant or any of those things.
Yeah.
It's definitely true. It's the kind of, now I'm reading it again, it's the kind of advice I was given when I was working in sales. You're all part of one big group, and yeah, you all want to win, you all want to be the best, but you don't get to be the best by kicking everyone else, because in the end, you spend far too much time undermining other people and not doing what you're actually there for. It's wasted energy.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything more to say that you guys haven't already said. So, that's 10 points.
Hey!
10 points to Gryffindor. Yay!
I think it's probably worth saying that if you, the listener, have any points you want to raise over anything that we've said, then leave a comment on webcomics.co, this post, and we will try and get back to it in the next podcast. We've talked about a lot of disparate things this time, so hopefully there'll be some stuff to discuss. And as always, the topic for future weeks is fairly open, so if there's something you want us to talk about, post a comment up there and we'll try and apply our combined experiences and thoughts to that next time.
Or, of course, use the mailbag function on the website, which is always very, very useful. And I can't remember where it is. I think it just says contact us on mailbag, but I'll just check.
We have gotten a few genuine things, which is really cool, but it's mostly been spam. And we love getting real-life emails, so please feel free.
Real-life emails are nice.
We would like to address the spam ones as well, so if anyone wants to buy some Tramadol or Viagra, we can recommend some great sites.
Tramadol is horrible stuff.
What is it?
I don't even know what it is, actually.
It's a kind of morphine or opiate-based chemical, and it's great for pain relief, providing you're not allergic to morphine or any kind of morphine derivative, but it's kind of... It reduces the amount of pain you're in by making you not care, by preoccupying you with the fact that you're now travel sick.
Oh dear. Well, at least it's cheap, cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap for a reason. No one wants it.
Maybe that's why the spam bots have such a surplus. They're trying to just offload it.
Yeah, so please take this, please.
Our warehouses are full.
I hate stuff. But yeah, if you go to webcomics.co and click on contact us, it has a very nice little box where you just type in your message, and if you want to put your name on, you can. Actually, you have to put something in name. So if you don't want to give us your name, just say your name is Kevin. And press send.
Kevin is the standard anonymous name now. For
yeah. Well, I would say a.n.other, but it's so passe. So if you don't want to give us your name, then you're Pope Gregory the Ninth. And your email address is like pope@pope.com or something like that. And there you go.
Great.
Is there an email address as well?
There is. It's mailbag@webcomics.co.
Cool.
You can do all of those things, or you can leave a comment underneath the actual post.
Yep, or you can send us a messenger pigeon.
You can do anything.
Smoke signals.
Smoke.
Yell into the ether and we shall hear it with our amazing superpower ears.
It's nothing beats shouting a bit.
If you say Web Comics Company in front of a mirror 3 times, we will hear.
No, if you say Web Comics Company 3 times in front of a mirror, a giant hand comes in and slaps you.
So, should we sign off? Should we do it?
Yep.
Alright.
Excellent. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. My name's James Spence from Girls in Space at girlsinspace.co.uk.
I'm Luke Healy, and why don't you just go read my comic at swanienook.com, okay?
I'm Luke Sell, and you can find what I do at lukesell.com.
And I'm Zoe Kirk-Robinson. You can find me at All Over the House at alloverthehouse.net, The Life of Nocti Mouse at nobmouse.net, The Webcomic Builder at webcomicbuilder.com, and Inkproof Cannon at inkproofcannon.com. You've been listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. We'll see you in another fortnight. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
My bag is still lying unpacked in the middle of my room. So that's my fun after podcast activity.
I look forward to that.
Don't look at it as a bag that's still packed. Look at it as a bag that's prepared for your next convention.
My next convention is probably going to be in March. So
You're really prepared.
So yeah, I'm super prepared. Yeah,
good job. I actually still have mine from the thing last year packed because it was in like a spare bag, and I just thought I don't need to unpack this. There's nothing in there I need.
This is when you remember that you bought a banana while you were down there.
Oh God. Nothing. Hopefully, nothing will explode out when I open it.
You might have created a new form of life or something.
It'll be beautiful and also probably terrifying.
But definitely something to write a webcomic about.
Yes, terrifying new suitcase life. It'll be really popular, I'm sure.
Hey, I've seen worse. I remember reading one webcomic where they produced alien life through not cleaning a toilet. And that was a really popular comic.
Oh, well, I actually think that at this stage, even if I was trying to make the worst comic possible, I couldn't beat what the internet has already produced naturally.
That's true. You haven't done orc porn.
I hear legends about orc porn on the webcomic list forum. I don't want to know what it was about, really.
I have to admit, I've never actually read it because it's the same thing as that Two Girls, One Cup thing from YouTube. I'm never going to actually go and see it. I've heard the reactions and I want to stay sane.
That sounds a sensible plan, though.
It's like if someone...
I haven't seen Two Girls, One Cup, but I never planned
Me either.
It.
No.
But it's one of those things like someone says, hey, shall we look at the Necronomicon? No. No, I'm leaving now. I'm not going anywhere near that damn thing.
Yeah, it's like the 21st century equivalent of Pandora's box.
Isn't it just
all of the evil in the world? Except there's no hope in it either.
It's the fact that once you've watched it, you can't unwatch it.
I know. We need like a button next to some of these YouTube videos that just says lobotomy now.